Several years ago, when my family lived in California, when we had babies about that age, maybe not quite that young, but we were in California, and I got a notice in the mail from the insurance company that we use for our cars and home. And the notice was that they were canceling our house policy. Or rather, to be specific, they were canceling the policy we had. They were happy to offer us a new one at a similar rate. The new one, though, would not insure us in the case of fire. I feel like I need to repeat that. It's just like, even today, I have trouble absorbing that. It would not insure us in case of fire. I had to read it like several times, put the paper down. This was at the very height of wildfires in the Bay Area a few years ago. We were not in the most vulnerable area, but we were not far from it either. This was not something that could not be foreseen. And they were telling me that they would insure our house so long as it did not burn down. And again, this was at the height of wildfires, so maybe I shouldn't have been so surprised. It turned out this was happening to tens of thousands of California homeowners because I don't expect my home to burn down. I don't think anybody who has not had a home burn down probably expects their home to burn down. I don't want to speak for everyone, but. So this was definitely unexpected. Now, we live with a chance of the unexpected every single day. Some of it is bad or scaring, like your house burning down, or a car wreck, or a medical diagnosis. Some unexpected things are good, running into a friend at the store, or getting a present in the mail that you weren't expecting, finding a $20 bill tucked away somewhere you had forgotten about. Now, how do we deal with the unexpected in our lives? All right, back to the home insurance. As I said, I learned later that this was happening to tens of thousands of California homeowners with homes in high or moderate risk areas. Their home insurance policies were just being canceled, or not renewed, I suppose, is the technical term. Now, I did what you do. I called our agent, trying to stay calm. Maybe not succeeding entirely in that. And she assured me that, hey, we'll fix this, don't worry. The company that insured us was one she worked with directly very often, and she didn't think they were likely to change their minds no matter what she said to them. But she said, hey, we can just get bids from some other providers. They're not the only game in town. And she was right. A couple weeks later, we had a new insurance policy. One that covered fire, and we were covered at essentially the same cost. I think there was a modest increase, but all was well once again. Or was it? I mean, if our house did burn down, either through natural causes like that wildfire, we can debate how natural the wildfires in California actually are, but that's for a different sermon, perhaps. Or if it burned down through something we did, bad wiring or what have you, the insurance would cover it, subject to how long and how much they would really cover. And I had congregants who were victims of those wildfires, and the details are really important on those things about how much they will cover and how long it will take to them for them to make that right. But even if they did cover everything or a substantial portion of everything, our lives would be vastly affected. Replacing the monetary cost of that loss would scarcely be the beginning. Which led me to the idea that fire insurance is not enough. Stay with me for just a second because I'm gonna bring this back around. You will not be shocked since all you know about me is that I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister, but that's enough for the moment. That I often disagree with conservative evangelical pastors, right? Shouldn't be a big surprise, I wouldn't think. But what that means is I find it really interesting when we actually happen to agree once in a while. And there's an old saying from that part of the theological spectrum that I do agree with, and it goes something like, religion is more than just fire insurance. And the idea being there that if you are being good and going to church, what have you, whatever that means for you, only so that you will not burn in the fires of hell, assuming you believe in that, which I don't, but if that's the reason you're doing that, then you're not really religious. Rather, you're making a long-term insurance contract with God. I'll be good, and in return, I will not be eternally punished. Something like that. Insurance, as you probably well know, is what we get to deal with things that we hope will never happen. Insurance is making a small bet each month, or however often you pay, just in case something terrible happens, you will get a payout. And there are, of course, many, many, many people who do approach religion in this way. Every Sunday spent in a pew or a chair is a little bet, a little insurance against the prospect of hell, perhaps, or against feelings of guilt about what they're doing in the rest of their week, maybe, if they don't feel good about their life. I have a different opinion. I happen to believe that religion, at least done well, offers us something to deal with the unexpected and tragic and simply awful, but not in some sort of future insurance payout kind of way. Rather, we offer this, a chance to think about things that matter, to explore them with others, a chance to practice what it means to go deep and to strengthen our resolve and widen our compassion and anchor our souls. So a question might be, what does Unitarian Universalism, our faith, offer if not fire insurance? And my answer is plenty. First, our Universalist heritage assures us that there is no eternal torment awaiting any of us. The Universalist preacher Hosea Ballou liked to relate a story, which is funny, if probably not actually true, but that's not neither here nor there. One I often tell, and one you may have heard from someone else before too, it's well known. He and another preacher, this one of the fire and brimstone variety, were riding between towns on the preaching circuit. This was common a couple hundred years ago that you would serve a number of churches and visit them over the course of a month or 6 weeks, you know, one at a time in a circuit, in a circle, that is, and then do the same thing over again and over again and over again. So these two happened to be on the same stop. You know, they were going between the same two stops on the circuit, riding together. And this other preacher, this fire and brimstone type, said, "Brother Ballou, is it my understanding that you don't believe in hell?" Ballou said, "Yes, that's maybe oversimplifying things, but sure, let's go with that." Ballou said, yes, his universalism proclaimed that there was no such punishment awaiting. And the other preacher said, "If I didn't believe in the fires of hell, what would there be to stop me from hitting you over the head and stealing everything you have right now?" And Ballou said, "Well, if you were a universalist, the idea wouldn't occur to you." I don't know if that's true or not. I've known too many universalists, but but universalism very much does assure us that whatever happens, if anything, after our deaths, it is not eternal fire or punishment, and moreover assures us that we're all going to be in it together. More than one universalist has noted that if we are to spend eternity together, then right now might be a good time to start practicing getting along, which is easier said than done. I probably don't need to tell you, because it means I have to find a way to get along with people I hate and detest and disagree with about all sorts of things. So does that mean convincing them of my way of thinking? Does that mean finding a way to coexist peacefully despite our differences, even differences about our very selves? Does that mean something else that I am not yet able to imagine? some combination of all of those? I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that whatever it is, it will not be easy. And I am also equally sure that the sooner we get started, the better. And here's where our Unitarian heritage gives me a bit of hope, because it assures us that through effort and reason, we can work to make things better in a real way. We cannot know the results of all of our actions. We cannot know what is waiting for us tomorrow or 10 years from now or 1,000 years from now. But we can attempt to prepare and to ready ourselves. We can attempt to improve our communities in the meantime. And that however halting, however many times we fail, we can make real progress on those fronts. What does that look like? It means learning, certainly, including things that might make us uncomfortable. It means hard growth. It means stretching ourselves to be more and different than we have been. It means challenging ourselves to be more and do more than we have before. It means being open to change and holding on to what is true of us and being ready to be challenged as we prepare for an uncertain but relentless future. All of which is exciting, but also scary. And the hope for me, one of the hopes, is that I think some of our youngest community members can help us give a vision of how to do this. I'm always proud of OWL, which is Our Whole Lives. I'm told you just finished a session of for your 7th to 9th grade age members. If you don't know, Our Whole Lives is comprehensive and age-appropriate sexuality education program developed between the Unitarian Universalist Association and our friends in the United Church of Christ. It is offered in hundreds of Unitarian Universalist congregations, including this one, as I said. If you've never experienced OWL directly, I think there's an important thing to say about it, is that I referred to it as a sexuality education program, but that's a little misleading, or a little too small is maybe the better way to put that, because there's certainly information about sex at age-appropriate levels, about body parts and about reproduction, but that's only a part. And in some ways, it's not even the most important part, because OWL is also about health and relationships and consent and what it means to be a healthy, compassionate individual in community. Because as I said, one way we can prepare for the unexpected, or at least the not yet experienced, is to learn. Our tradition has a long history of teaching and learning, of curiosity, and of believing that more information is almost always better than less. With Our Whole Lives, we offer information, but just as important, we offer a safe place to discuss and explore real important things. It's just one way that we are reminded that Unitarian Universalism is not offering us fire insurance. We do offer information and exploration and support and a community in which to learn and practice things like resilience. In short, at our best, we offer a place to grow amazing, fully human people. Along these lines, the James Luther Adams, the preeminent Unitarian Universalist theologian of the last century, famously said that church is the place where we get to practice being human. And this, I think, is what he meant. That this place and those like it, where we learn and deepen what it means to be in relationship, that this is a place where we strengthen and deepen our minds and souls, This is a place where we are pushed to confront new truths, repair old hurts, and move bravely into an uncertain future. Because our religion is not fire insurance, but so much more than that. So may each of us, and all of us together, be willing to go deep, to stretch, and to support one another in that journey. May it be so.